disclaimer first, and then we're going to tell you.
Sounds good. Travel Guys coming up next here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
The following is a paid program. The views and opinions of this program are solely those of the host and do not necessarily reflect those of the KFBK staff or management or its parent company, Clear Channel Communications.
Today on the Travel Guys.
Today on the Travel Guys. That would be my cue. Is that my cue?
Today on the Travel Guys.
Sunday update. Airline breakdowns are now an act of God.
You know, thanks to Congresswoman Doris Matsui, taking a cruise is a lot safer these days.
We'll talk with Lisa Simon, president of the National Tour Association, about traveling to Cuba.
And road reporter Clayton Whitehead joins us in studio for our first ever roundtable.
All that and more coming up today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on Route 66. Let it roll.
What a beautiful Sunday to be in California. For those of you that are joining us, thanks for coming aboard. It's the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano, along with
Mark Hoffman,
and in the studio for the first time, actually, I do believe. Up till now, he's always been on the phone someplace else on the planet. I think we talked in Spain at one point. Mackinac Island. Clayton Whitehead. Clayton, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here on this very cool Sacramento day.
I want to, first of all, thank all of my listeners from Classic 93.1 who stopped by to say hi, also fans of the Travel Guys.
Here we go,
blatant
plug.
A blatant, shameless plug for Classic 93.1, the afternoon guy, that's me. We were up in Tahoe for Hot August Nights on Friday. And
working.
Yes, if you could call it that. And then I'm going to be working in Reno at the Nuggets tomorrow, so if you happen to be maybe on the one your way right now, traveling up to Reno for Hot August Nights, do stop in between 3 and 7 and say hi. Okay. Mark, I know we have some unfinished business that goes along with our contest.
We have one thing that we need to take care of that goes along with our Mystery Spot contest. We are getting ready for the finals, which will be on our next program in 2 weeks. We have 5 of our 6 finalists lined up, but one we have not been able to reach. So, John, and if I'm pronouncing, butchering your last name in advance, I apologize. Malinist, M-A-L-A-N-I-S-T. John, you guessed Vatican City way back when, and you are one of our finalists, and we need to be able to get a hold of you. So if you are out there listening today, John, or if you know John, 921-1530. Please give us a call, 921-1530. And in 2 weeks, we will have all of our Mystery Spot winners right here live in the studio, and we are going to decide who is going to New York or Hawaii.
Got some great travel news. I don't know, great in that it's really interesting and it's kind of unique stuff that you're just not going to hear anywhere else on the radio, and that's happening right now. There's a travel news theme.
Wow.
Take it away, Mark.
We've really upgraded.
Yes.
Southwest Airlines says mechanical breakdowns are now an act of God. Southwest has added mechanical difficulties to the list of acts of God and other events the carrier will not be responsible for if travel is delayed. Apparently, Southwest made the change to its contract of carriage a few weeks ago. It did not define mechanical difficulties, but they are now included in with wars, riots, storms, earthquakes, and other acts of God that are outside of Southwest control. It's a strange addition to the list, but the airline said it was put there to limit their exposure to liability, and they will still continue to assist passengers as they have in the past. And in fairness, I guess we should say that Southwest traditionally doesn't do a lot to help stranded passengers, perhaps maybe the only area where their competition occasionally beats them to the punch.
Now, here again, the first thing that comes to mind, and I am not an atheist, so don't get me wrong, there are going to be people that say, I don't believe in God, so now what?
So
how can there be act of gods? I'm not buying this. I want a free trip. Fix your plane.
You're the guy Southwest is hoping they don't hear from. Speaking of Southwest, they're in the news in other ways this week. The carrier is tightening its policy on unused tickets. Southwest which does not charge a change or cancellation fee, has allowed flyers to apply the price of unused tickets to any future purchase. If you cancel the ticket, anybody could use that credit. Effective January 28th, only you will be able to use the credit, which is the same as it is with most of the other carriers. Southwest also spent more on advertising, $45 million in the first quarter, than any other carrier, followed by American Airlines, Delta, United at $10 million. U.S. Airways spent just $4.4 million. I guess if you are goosing people $50 left and right for their bags, you don't have as much to advertise, would be my thought. In there, there's a reason to keep your seatbelt fastened at all times on a plane department. 21 travelers were injured after severe turbulence hit a United Airlines jet traveling from Washington Dulles to Los Angeles. The plane was diverted to Denver. Folks, remember, when you're on an airplane, it's just common sense. Keep your air seatbelt fastened at all times.
You know, I as a rule, would follow the when the sign came on, but it wasn't uncommon for me to get up and not put my seatbelt back on. So what you're saying is that at any given time, you could hit a pocket of air and it would slam your head against the...
Absolutely. And even if the seatbelt light isn't on, yeah, you should have your seatbelt on when you are in the... Yeah, absolutely.
I will do that.
Absolutely should. Okay. Speaking of Southwest Airlines, let's see. Let's go down here. The guy who invented the black box died this week at the age of 85. The Australian scientist came up with the concept of crash and fireproof devices to record black box flight deck conversations and instrument data after a 1953 crash involving the Comet, the world's first commercial passenger jet. His name was David Warren. He created the first prototype of a black box in 1956.
And by the way, Mark, did you know the black box isn't black?
Really?
It's orange. Bright orange, like highway road sign orange. Makes it easier to find.
Yeah. Ah, okay. It's got all kinds of clickers and detectors. Remember, they looked for that one from Air France out in the ocean for a month trying to find it. Anyway, the Donald is not happy.
Wait, hold on. But then why do they call it the black box?
Google it.
Well, I don't know. Okay. You guys are going to have to talk about that later. I've got news to cover here. Donald Trump is not happy, and this is important news. The Donald is upset over the noise of planes landing and taking off at the airport as they fly over his Palm Beach mansion. The Donald has filed a lawsuit against the director of the airport that seeks to block any further expansion of the airport and to stop flights going directly over the Trump estate. Imagine that. Which was there first, the airport or perhaps the Donald?
Oh, the Donald.
I don't know that it really matters who was there first at this point. Enterprise Rent-A-Car is adding electric cars to its fleet starting in January. The cars will be at select locations throughout its network. Let's see, we've got 8 cities, and I'm guessing these are cities that have places with charging units. Phoenix, Tucson, Knoxville, Nashville, San Diego, Los Angeles, Portland, and Seattle. And importantly, as Tom mentioned in the open, our own Congresswoman Doris Matsui authored a bill in Congress, House Bill 3360, the Cruise Vessel and Security and Safety Act, which was signed into law this week. Way to go, Congresswoman Matsui. 3 cheers for you. Terrific, terrific job. This really means that cruise passengers are going to be a lot safer. The law mandates vessels to contact both the FBI and the Coast Guard as soon as there's a crime involving homicide, suspicious deaths, missing nationals, kidnapping, assault, etc. It just what it means is that there's a whole new set of rules, peepholes, rail links on guardrail links on ship, warning devices, cabin security measures, etc. Again, 3 cheers for our local Congresswoman Doris Matsui, who, after a local lady was sexually assaulted on a cruise ship, put together this piece of legislation. So it's an example how – I would say it's a perfect example of how one person can truly make a difference.
Yes, and if we're fortunate enough, we might have an opportunity to speak with Doris about this.
We have been trying to reach Doris's office. In fact, I've talked with them several times this week. And, you know, in typical Matsui fashion, they don't really seek the spotlight before, during, or after things like this. So they've been onslaughted by news people, so we told them we would wait till next week. But, yes, we hope to have Doris on in a couple of weeks. And the House passed aviation safety legislation this week, which will force airlines to hire more experienced pilots, investigate their previous employment more thoroughly, and train them better. Pilots would be required to have flown a minimum of 1,500 hours, forcing regional pilot airlines to hire more experienced pilots and indirectly raise salaries. Might cost us a few more bucks, but folks, if the guy in the cockpit is a little more experienced and able to handle an emergency, would that not be worth it? And finally, here's just a little presidential note. The Obama family, leading by example, I see, will vacation on the Gulf Coast starting next weekend. The president and his family will vacation on Florida's Gulf Coast over next weekend. And that is the travel news.
Right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We are the travel guys, Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman and Clayton Whitehead. Clayton is our road reporter. And I know for those of you that do a lot of traveling, one of the things that we're going to talk about coming up, so don't go too far away, is we have a list of the top worst, you're expecting the best, right? The top worst hotels in the U.S.
And you can find those, actually, on our. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can learn all about our guests today. You can learn, and there's lots of cool, neat things that we won't necessarily be able to cover on the program. So TravelGuysRadio.com if you want to follow along with us. After the break, we're going to talk with Lisa Simon, who is president of the National Tour Association. She's going to update us about travel to Cuba and lots of other cool stuff. We are the Travel Guys. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
KFBK, thank you so much for joining us. We're here every other week between noon and 1 o'clock, and got some fun stuff coming up on the backside of the hour. We're going to be finding out a little bit more about what's going on with the big build out at the Sacramento International Airport. So
traffic.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, that's what's going on with the big build, traffic.
There you go. We'll also be roundtabling with Clayton about this, that, and everything else. But right now, Mark, what do we got?
On the line with us right now is Lisa Simon. Lisa is president of the National Tour Association, and she's joining us today so we can talk about a variety of travel subjects. The first one that's on my mind. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
It is a pleasure to – I'm doing very well. How's the weather in Lexington, Kentucky, where you are?
It's a beautiful sunny day.
Ah, well, it's beautiful here in Sacramento. We are having one of our non-100-degree days, which those of us in Sacramento are always grateful for in the summertime, especially when they occur on the weekends.
Actually, so, here in the South, we're thankful for that, too.
Yeah, I can imagine, since the humidity in the South tends to be just a tad higher. As Clayton likes to say, people glisten in the South.
That's
they don't.
Right.
Yes, we don't sweat. We glisten.
They glisten. Yeah, exactly. Lisa, I wanted to just, before we get into anything else, I wanted to ask you, we've had Steve Richer on our program a few weeks back. We talked a little bit about travel to Cuba. Any update on that situation?
Well, actually, it's looking good. The legislation has passed the House Agricultural Committee. And it now goes to the Foreign Affairs Committee, and we're seeing positive signs that it will pass the Foreign Affairs Committee and then move on, of course, to the House and the Senate. Particularly the Senate says they have enough votes to pass it, so we'll have to wait and see what it does in the House.
So what's your gut feeling? By this time next year, may people in the United States be able to freely travel to Cuba?
Well, I sure hope so. I have to tell you, though, if they don't get this passed right now in this session, then it will probably be another year because nobody's going to address it, you know, as we get closer to the 2010 elections.
So, Lisa, a passage of this bill means that our good friends, United, Continental, Delta, whoever, domestic airlines will be able just to fly freely back and forth, and we as U.S. citizens will get to travel freely back and forth with a good passport?
That's right.
Awesome. I'm ready to go.
And me too. I want to see it.
I've heard it's a beautiful country. So, and that Cubans are very wonderful people. And if you've ever done, you know, much travel in Miami and southern Florida, certainly there's a huge Cuban influence there with the food and the culture and the like. So,
absolutely. And I think with, you know, 50 years of this rather ineffective policy, there's a significant pent-up demand for Americans wanting to travel there.
Now, Lisa, you've actually been to Cuba a time or two in these proceedings, right?
I actually have not. I applied for a license, and because I am with a tourism organization, it was denied. So I'm just as anxious to see it open.
Right on. I have no idea what's in Cuba. I mean, I don't know what their architecture's like, their food, their music. I just know the American-Cuban version, you know? I want to see the real thing.
Yeah,
right.
It would be nice. So, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about package travel. The National Tour Association sounds to me like... It is, and my company is a member. Obviously, we are a tour operator, so it's comprised of tour operators. But as Clayton was kind of talking, there's perhaps more to this association and this huge industry group than just tour operators. Clayton, you had a thought.
Yeah, it's just, of course, I'm a group tour operator, so I tend to think of mature adults in buses. But I know that our association is trying to gear more towards the concept of package travel, and that might be applicable to... groups of any sort, groups of any size, even family groups. So maybe you could speak a little bit to our listeners about what the advantages are of looking for an NTA company or a packager of group travel? What are the advantages, say, for a mom and dad and three kids that are going to on a summer vacation, or a group of buddies that are getting together for a reunion or something?
Well, I think the first benefit is value. When you have a tour operator putting packages together, and you're, whether you're an individual, a small family, or a group, you're going to get better pricing, and oftentimes you're going to get to do things that you wouldn't ever get to do or find yourself doing when you travel by yourself. So first and foremost, it's value, it's price. And
you're
then
adding an extra level of expertise, in
absolutely.
Essence.
Absolutely. That's what I was getting to next, is that the tour operator, you can feel safe and secure in knowing that tour operator knows where you're going. They're going to meet you. They're going to make sure that you have a great itinerary.
Right on.
And, of course, NTA tour operators are the best.
I could not agree with you more on that, Lisa.
Well, and folks often ask, you know, how did you find this thing? Where did you, you know, how did you find this off the beaten track thing? And I explained to them that, well, because I know the Iowa tourism person, they know the Eastern Iowa tourism person, which knows the tourism person in Clinton, Iowa, which knows the guy down the street who has the cool general store that we stopped at for 30 minutes.
That's a great story, because it is all about relationships. I mean, particularly among NTA's 3,000 travel professionals and businesses, it just building the relationships and knowing, as you said, the people who know the people.
We're talking with Lisa Simon, president of the National Tour Association. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Lisa, this is Tom. Tell me what's going on with the Gulf Coast, with all of the tour groups that you're associated with and that you meet in a regular basis here recently. What are you hearing about travel to the Gulf Coast as a result of the oil spills?
Well, like Mark, I was certainly glad to see that the president and his family are going there. I think that's setting a great example. I'm also proud to say that tour operators, the NTA tour operators that we've been talking to, have not canceled their trips for the rest of this year or into 2011, and that's fantastic. They're continuing to sell tours into 2011. We, in fact, issued a challenge to them to say, even if you don't normally take trips there, you know, right now their economy is going to be hurt dramatically by this, so please, you know, take tours there. But it has been hurt from a visitation and tourism standpoint from the individual travelers, and particularly the drive markets. The beaches, you know, looked like all of the beaches were, under oil, and it really was not that way. I mean, the perception was much worse than what actually hit the beaches down there.
And probably is giving people an opportunity to travel to the Gulf Coast and take advantage of travel for a reduced rate as a result of the depression in that area. Here again, people staying away when they don't need to.
Well, that's true, and I have to tell you, the beaches are probably the lowest on my list in terms of attractions in that area. There is so much to do down there in terms of history and food. The culinary experience is just incredible. Music and just the cultural experiences, and gaming, of course, is a big draw.
And I know, Clayton, you were on the Gulf Coast with a group just a couple of months ago. Were you at the Beau Rivage there?
Absolutely, on the beautiful beach just outside Biloxi, Mississippi, and I know for Californians, maybe going to the Mississippi and Alabama Gulf Coast is not on their radar screen for a great vacation destination, but there is no more beautiful place in America than that. Highly recommend it.
Lisa, let me ask you here, shift gears for a minute before we have to let you go. And NTA represents a huge number of destinations, of hoteliers, things like that. The economy's in a shambles, has been for a while. What's your sense of how is the tourism industry holding up, and what does the immediate future hold? Good, bad, hard to predict? What's your take on that?
Well, we're seeing signs of improvement. Again, I think with the economy, you could say there's been a pent-up demand. You know, Americans like their vacations, and a lot of people put them on hold. And I think for the rest of 2010, and really particularly into 2011, people are going to be traveling much more than they have been in the last 18 months.
Well, and we're seeing that the airlines are reporting a tick up, and of course, people have consistently said, you know, I'm not going to give up my vacation, but we're also seeing things like national parks who are reporting, like they did last summer, that people are still coming and staying at the lodge, but they're just not eating in the restaurant, or they're not spending as much money, and they're not going into the gift shop, etc. So people have altered their experience, I guess, to fit the times.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think our from our tour operators' experience, we've seen people traveling more domestically in the past 18 months, but they are beginning to look at international destinations again. So I think just global travel overall is going to be picking up.
Well, and of course, hotel prices have come down in some cases to bargain levels, but in some cases, some destinations, now New York would be an example, are kind of pushing the bar back up a little bit, thinking that, you know, perhaps good times are just around the corner. I might suggest to them that based in it kind of lines up with what you said, Lisa, that good times might not be just around the corner. It might be still a couple corners away. And it's a good time for people right now who can travel, who can afford to travel, because there are some bargains out there. Not everything that appears to be a bargain is so, but certainly there are some people who have distressed inventory.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are definitely good deals out there, but I think we are well away from getting back to 2008 and previously levels, because we're just not there yet.
Lisa, thank you so much for all of your comments this afternoon. Pleasure having you as a part of the Travel Guys.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you later. Lisa Simon, president of the National Tour Association, joining us live from Lexington, Kentucky on this Sunday afternoon. Lexington, you know, is where all the Kentucky Derby, 75% of the Kentucky Derby winners. Clayton, you're
absolutely
in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
man.
Lexington is bluegrass country, not Louisville.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all those great horses all come, and they all go out to stud in Lexington.
Yeah, it's because the water is so good, and that's what makes bourbon good too.
We'll be checking in with Karen Doran, finding out about the big build out at the Sacramento International Airport right after the news here on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
When you need to know,
News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Hi there, I'm Mike from Frontier Communications, your business's voice, data, and video provider. So I'm standing on this busy two-way road to make a point. To succeed, a business needs high-quality, two-way communication. Whether it's with customers, suppliers, or employees, flexible, reliable communication makes all the difference. And Frontier delivers with unlimited phone and high-speed internet for only $79.99 a month with a two-year price protection plan and $4.99 monthly modem fee. Whoa. And because business communication is about more than speed, Frontier offers security software, email, storage, and 3 free months of our peace of mind services with hard drive backup and tech support. Because if you slow up, break down, or miss a turn on this road, yeah, you get the picture. So just give us a call at 1-888-688-4725. Or you can visit us at frontier.com. Let's get this conversation and your business moving forward. Limited time offer. Applicable taxes, surcharges, and early termination fees apply.
This is Clayton Whitehead of Sports Leisure Vacations, inviting you to join us on the road. Witness the spectacular fall colors of Vermont. Take a trip up the Mississippi River Road from St. Louis to St. Paul, or visit the southwest cities of San Antonio and Santa Fe. Perhaps 3 nights on Catalina Island would be a special treat. These are just a few of the escorted tours offered by Sports Leisure Vacations. Visit us on the web at sportsleisure.com or call us at 361-TOUR. That's 361.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacation, along with Tom Romano. That's me. Thanks for joining us. It's a fabulous Sunday. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Mark, first of all, let's do another show.
Yeah, we do. We need to. Where in the world is John Malinist, or somebody who knows John, because he is the only finalist in our mystery spot contest. We have not been able to reach, and John, I have to confess, whatever happened to your phone number, it's not correct, and so we need to reach John Malinus. So if somebody knows John, or if John's out there listening, 921-1530 would be the way that you get a hold of us, either now or during the week or something, because in 2 weeks, we are giving away a trip to Hawaii or New York right on the air, and we will have a prize that day for listeners also, so you will want to listen and practice your travel trivia skills.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be one of those shows that even if you're not a contestant and you're not actually, you know, involved in winning anything, just to kind of participate while listening is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to it's a radio game show.
In case you haven't noticed, we're kind of into fun here on the Travel Guys. It's kind of what it's all about. Life can only be serious for so long. And so going back to a serious topic for just a moment, let's go to our next guest, who is joining us from spokesperson for Sacramento International Airport. God, I almost said Metropolitan Airport. I would have had a hard time digging out of that one.
That's a Tom move there.
Karen Doran is on the line. Good afternoon, Karen.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're having a good time here. Tom and Clayton and I are all in studio, and we are eagerly awaiting, since at least two of us are out there all the time, and Tom's been shuttling his daughter to and from the airport. She goes to San Antonio about once a month, so down there for school and stuff like that. So our guys here have got all kinds of questions and things of that sort for you. So before you get a chance to say, how are things at the airport?
Things are good. We are the buildings are going up really quick. I just found out yesterday that the landside terminal, which is where everybody will check in, that is about 68% complete, and the airside, which is where you'll catch your gates, your flights, and that's where all the gates are. That's post-security. That's 51% complete.
And the target opening date again is?
It's the end of 2011.
The end of 2011. So we're saying November, December type thing.
Well, we're fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. Okay. All right. And Clayton Whitehead, who has joined us today, we're kind of having a little bit of a travel roundtable here. And Clayton has, during the commercial break, he brought up, I said, you know, what do we want to talk to Karen about? And Clayton brought up a most important subject.
I'll tell you, Karen, the weight of my heart is through my stomach. About once a week, I'm out there at 3 or 4 a.m. meeting groups and getting them off on 6 o'clock flights, and I need a good breakfast. love the new food court. Well, I say new. The food court in the new terminal, but how about the new terminal? What is there going to be there in the way of food?
Well, we just recently released the request for proposals for food and beverage, and we had a mandatory pre-proposal meeting a week or so ago, and it was a full house. So we're going to get some great proposals from local, regional, and national vendors. We'll be deciding on what those restaurants will be before the end of this year.
Awesome. Sounds good already.
You know, I think, Clayton, as those RFPs come in, I mean, a lot of times the people will choose, you know, whoever the lowest price is and that kind of. You need to have Clayton and Mark and I out to sample.
Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of this discussion.
To sample the food and help make with the decisions.
Karen, and really, you know, I mean, the thing that you need to know is that in Burbank, California, for example, where the airport food has never been distinctive, I mean, you know, for a lot of years, Taco Bell was the only thing in that airport that was edible. And they have one of the best airport hamburgers in the country. And to me, an airport should be judged on its hamburger. And so, you know, I mean, and with apologies to anyone who's out there right now, I mean, I know that Chili's has a nice hamburger and stuff. It's in this new terminal, it would be important in an out burger, Five Guys.
That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, the new Five Guys at is it Houston, where I just saw one? Was it O'Hare? They don't allow them to have peanut shells. You know, peanuts, because the shells will get on the floor. So Karen has a personal request from me. If you allow Five Guys to come in, please let them have their peanuts.
I will pass that on to the panel.
Tom, do you have any input here on the food situation? This might be your only opportunity, you know.
Well, you know, here again, I think having something, as you mentioned, that's unique and that you can't find elsewhere would be great. I would like to know that there are people in other parts of the United States that would, if they had the money, would fly to our airport just to dine and fly home.
Ah.
Okay, because there
like
is...
that too.
Honestly, well, to be frank with you, I do know someone who used to fly to, I think it might have been Seattle, after a drinking binge, and eat dinner and then fly home the same.
Well, at LAX, they have that restaurant that's in the middle of the whole...
Encounters. And I have flown to LAX to eat there and flown back in one day.
Now we're talking.
Well, you deal with a tour group, I believe.
Well, I was with a tour group, but I still did it.
Well, exactly. So, Karen, now you have your marching orders on the food. So, Tom, you had another question about
it. I did. Karen, for our listeners, something that they can really relate to, kind of explain how the experience is going to be different flying out of the new airport than what we now currently have. What can they expect? What is going to be noticeably different in your mind?
Well, you know, one of the things I want to talk about is actually what's going to be the same, which is we have made a concerted effort to keep the airport as easy in, easy out. So it's going to be bigger. There's going to be more gates. There's going to be more food and restaurants and stores. But what you'll do is you'll approach the terminal there's going to be a two-level roadway to approach the terminal, and you'll be able to drop off or pick up passengers on both sides of the landside terminal building. And if you're a passenger, you'll go to the ticket level, you'll check in, and then you'll go up to what we call the transfer level and take a really short automated people mover ride from the terminal to the landside building, which is where you'll go through security. So it's much bigger, but it'll still be really easy to use because the architecture is designed to be open. So whatever level of the building you're on, you'll be able to see what your next step is, and there'll only be one choice.
So folks who have been to, for example, DIA in Denver, where they take a shuttle, or Hartsfield, Atlanta would be another example. Clayton, what else am I forgetting about here? Some other Pittsburgh.
Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando, Pittsburgh would be another example of airports where you take a shuttle out to the landside gates.
Yeah, it's not really a shuttle. It's a little bit more like it's an elevated track, and it's a
people mover.
It's a people mover,
like
right.
Disneyland.
So, kind of like Disneyland, yeah.
Sweet. It's kind of like moving into the big time. So, Karen, now that we're talking about all the wonderful things, by the way, our guest is Karen Doran from the Sacramento International Airport, and we're talking about all kinds of things, all the cool new things that are going to happen at the airport. And right now the place, of course, is a little bit of a mess. And, Karen, what we've been trying to do is update people on a regular basis and really encourage them to allow a little bit of extra time out there because there's only one way to approach two terminals instead of the two ways there used to be. So what would be the biggest tip that you would share with folks who are maybe heading out to the airport during the busiest part of the day?
Well, if you're picking someone up, my biggest tip would be to use the cell phone lot instead of driving around in circles, because that'll really help ease the traffic. And you can find that lot when you first take the exit off of I-5. There are signs that will direct you right to it. It's actually pretty close to I-5, and you can wait there for up to 3 hours for free. And when your passenger arrives, they give you a call on your cell phone, and then you drive to pick them up.
The second tip
I would give is to arrive a little bit early, especially if you're going to Terminal B, because there is only one way to get there now. All traffic for the whole airport has to pass in front of Terminal A before you get to Terminal B.
Now, I noticed it's hard to not notice, those that have been out to the airport area, that there has been a lot of looks like parking lots and construction and trees and stuff that has been taken down to landscape. Is that going to accommodate any new parking garages?
Well, to start out with, we are going to have surface parking for the new terminal, but we will be eventually building a parking garage, and that is in the spot where Terminal B exists right now. So when we open the new building, we will tear down the old Terminal B, and that's where the parking will go.
And that's eventually where the parking lot or garage will be some years
later. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, and in the cell phone lot, here again, you can wait up to 3 hours. I love that because, here again, it beats this driving in a circle thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and as I was telling folks, I don't know, on a recent show, Tom, the truth of the matter is that some of the cheapest gas in town is at the ARCO station at the airport. So if you're getting close to empty, leave 10 minutes earlier, give yourself that extra cushion, and you can fill up. It's a blatant plug for the ARCO station, but their prices have been cheaper for – Karen, are they not?
Yes, they are. I buy gas there all the time. It's really convenient when I go to work.
Absolutely, and it's consistently among the cheapest price in town. Karen, thank you so much for taking part of your Sunday. Yes, Mr. Romano.
I have one thing to add. For those of us that are in the cell phone lots for a long time, if you could maybe have some car side service, I don't know, and maybe some drinks, a little popcorn, and maybe you throw up, for the evening time, a little movie screen, we'll be set to go.
Another suggestion I'll pass on.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And don't forget about when you get ready to get those RFPs, requests for proposals for all of your food vendors to give Clayton and Mark and I a call, Karen.
We'll sure do.
Karen, thank you so much. I know it's a Sunday, and I really appreciate your time. And we'll get in touch back with you again in 4 or 6 weeks and get another update.
Sounds great. Have a good day, you guys.
All right, you too. Karen Doran from Sacramento International Airport, joining us on the Travel Guys. What are you doing, Romano?
I wanted to see, you know, on this side of the break, thank you, Harris, for turning my mic on. I'm new to this.
It doesn't sound like, that way it doesn't sound like that you're in a tunnel. No one would ever know that you do an FM afternoon show on the FM station. What's the name of that station again that you do that show on?
Classic 93.1 on the FM dial, the classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
Clayton, have you listened
to?
Yeah,
he's really good.
Yeah.
He plays in my hardware store.
Really?
Yeah, my neighborhood hardware store right on.
Outstanding.
It's
Cordova?
Absolutely.
It's definitely my
hardware. You got it.
One day they went from America right to Fleetwood Mac. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Anyway, this is a travel program. I think we're supposed to do something. Probably take a commercial break or something here.
No, we got a few more minutes if we would like to flip to another subject for just a little bit before we take a break, and then we'll have 5 minutes on the back.
All right. Here's a couple of topical things. Buckingham Palace is offering its first cafe for tourists. I don't know if I could go English. Can I go English right away? Buckingham Palace is building its first cafe for summer tourists while the Queen enjoys a cruise around Scotland. The garden cafe is being constructed on a prominent spot with panoramic views of the home's 40-acre grounds. The cafe will seat 210 people.
That was really bad. You need to keep your day job. But, you know, it's true. The royal family has gone broke in the last few years. I mean, that's just their sad fact. They sold their yacht, the Britannia. It's now a tourist attraction. Then they opened Buckingham Palace for tourists, completely just to get money when the Queen was out of residence. And now they've done this.
So, Clayton Whitehead with all the dirt on the royal family in England,
well,
right here on the Travel Guys.
I think I'm going to open my house. And start serving tea on the back
deck.
Well, did any of this have to do with the fact that they recently were able to trace Count Dracula as being a distant relative to members of the royal family?
Oh, wow. Was that like that genealogy TV show?
No, you know, with the Twilight series and all of that, the young man that was in the Twilight series is a distant relative of the royal family. And then through the genealogy, they were able to trace that back to, what was it, Vlade the Impaler, the original Count Dracula. So here again, I think that kind of press is depressing their...
Speaking of impaling brings me to our next subject. The Vatican is telling tourists to cover up. Yeah, they're telling tourists to get dressed in skimpy summer clothing to cover up before any Vatican City or just stay away.
That's a tough voice. Yeah, the ban had previously applied only to St. Peter's Basilica, but guards manning the official entry point into the tiny walled state began pulling visitors aside for sporting inappropriate attire. Tourists dressed in shorts and tank tops were targeted. Immodest clothing has been specifically borrowed from St. Peter's for decades. Clayton, you're our Italy expert. You're the man who goes to the Vatican.
Yes, I will be there in October.
Oh, brag. Do people not dress appropriately when they go there?
Well, I have to say, yeah. You know, I think your opinion on the church is inconsequential. When you're visiting a site that is that old, that relevant, and that important to so many people, out of respect to your fellow visitors, if not the facility itself, folks, you know, ought to cover up a little bit. I'm okay with this rule.
I think that a lot of people that, that travel there, it's just not something that enters their mind is to that there might be an appropriate dress while they're traveling, touring, or whatever. So, you know, they just show up not really thinking. So here again, with a little bit of information, I'm sure they'll cover up.
Hey, guess what? Roma's going to – not only is the Vatican make you cover up, but Roma's introducing a hotel tax. And they're looking at charging taxes at museums, double-decker buses, bars, and restaurants. You know why? Because they're about $80 gazillion in the hole. It's kind of – I guess they could probably follow California's lead, but the Italian economy is kind of staggering a little bit. So it looks like tourists are going to bear it. And I guess, you know, if you want to go there and see this stuff, then you're going to have to pay the tariff to go see it. Clayton, you've taken folks there a number of times to Rome and to the Vatican and all up and down.
It's a beautiful country. And well,
you
they
do
call
the
Rome
paddle
the eternal
boats in Venice? Or?
They call Rome the eternal city, and it absolutely is. I can't think of a better European vacation destination for anyone, no matter what your religion is or isn't. And it's especially friendly for American tourists. Almost everybody knows English, and even if they don't, it's fun not knowing what you're saying in Italy. I mean, you just talk loud, and you make it a little sing-songy, and you get spaghetti for dinner, and it's fine. You know, it's just a great place to visit.
All right, we're going to take our last break of the hour, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about, in about 2 minutes, about the important legislation that Congresswoman Doris Matsui authored that was passed and signed by the president this week that is going to make it a heck of a lot safer to travel on cruise ships. You may not know about this, but it is very good news. More on that on the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Kaufman, along with Clayton Whitehead and Tom Romano. You're listening to News Talk KFBK 1530.
Hi. 1530 KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Thanks again for joining us. We're here every other week. The week that we're not here,
Ed Outland.
It's an aging with Ed Outland.
Yep.
Ed,
good man.
Yes.
Ed is definitely a good man.
I wanted to take a moment and let you know that you can visit, the TravelGuysRadio.com or SportsLeisureVacation.com, where you'll find, first of all, podcasts of our previous programs, as well as all kinds of cool travel information, and including one of the items I mentioned earlier. The worst hotels in the USA, they're posted there in no particular order. So.
Yeah, 10 of them. 10 of them. It's really kind of interesting. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can see that. Also, there's a couple that's going one direction across the country on the Lincoln Highway, and then they're going back on Route 66. And you can follow their journey. There's a link to it. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com if you'd like that sort of off-the-beaten-track thing. I haven't checked it out yet myself, but I promise you I'm going to before the day's out. So our tech guy, Ryan Quinn, just put it up there recently. So anyways, we were going to talk for a minute about this legislation that Doris Matsui had so much to do with. She authored it, which is going to make cruising a lot safer for people. Now, cruise lines are going to have to put peepholes in doors, and they're going to have higher guardrails and things like that. So this is really a big deal. And I just really, again, want to take a minute and thank Doris and her staff for being so responsive to one of her own constituents who had her own challenge on a cruise ship at one point with a sexual assault. And this is going to make things a lot stronger for a lot safer for all cruise travelers, and witness the fact that the cruise line lobbied pretty hard to keep this from happening. And, you know, in Washington, D.C. right now, very few things are passing on a bipartisan basis. So when you see a bill that goes through the House of Representatives and only four members of the House voted against it, it tells you that somebody has done some real work at bringing people together. So in Washington, at least some things are getting done, and the cruise line thing, I think, is important. So kudos to Doris Matsui and her staff.
Absolutely. And Mark, from what information you know, this means basically more security guards. If you have an issue, you can get a response a lot quicker.
It's a big time wake up call to the cruise lines. They have gotten away with murder, literally almost, for years. A cruise ship is a very closed community, and people tend to feel safe because they think, well, nobody could go anywhere. But the reality is that bad things can still happen to you. And if bad things do happen, there needs to be somebody there, even if it's just petty theft or something like that, who can, you know, make a report, and somebody has to be answerable to this. So I this is a huge, huge step. I mean, it really, people who travel have no idea, but this is really an important thing.
You know, Mark, these closed communities are growing. There are ships now with 7,000 people on board, so these communities are getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, we, the riders...
Well,
sometimes
people are only on those ships for 3 or 4 days, and so it's not like you had to pay $5,000 to get on a cruise ship anymore. And I have no doubt that there are, you know, I'm not suggesting that people are not safe on cruise ships. That would be kind of stupid. But I think cruise ships are a lot safer than walking down the street. But I still think that there could be some room for improvement. And thanks to Doris's legislation, that's going to happen. So I hope we can have her on next week and talk a little bit about that. And talk a little bit. You know, we were talking during the break. We were talking about cruise ships. And I was telling Clayton, thinking about cruise ships and the Alaska Marine Highway, you can get off in Ketchikan, and there's enough time to lay over there. You can go into town to the old historic hotel, and the best biscuits and gravy you ever had in your life. They take the biscuits and they butter them, and then they brown them on the grill, and then they pour sausage gravy over the top of them. So you, like, you can have a heart attack just watching them.
Yeah, the last thing that you get before you leave is the defibrillator.
So with all that food on the boat, you're talking about getting off the boat.
Absolutely.
And eating.
Well, some of
that.
The best food is in off-the-beaten-track places. Well, you travel a lot.
Well,
where do you go?
You're right about that. The best restaurant in America, Mrs. Wilkes Boarding House, Jones Street, Savannah, Georgia.
You see, that didn't take him long at all. Now, Tom, when you go down to San Antonio a lot, where do you like to? Where's your favorite spot?
It's simply called the Alamo, Cafe, and it's a Mexican restaurant, and besides the food being just totally awesome, when you walk into the lobby, the arched ceilings are painted as a sky, so even when you're indoors, it's like you're still outdoors.
San Antonio holds great culinary memories for me because it's where I discovered deep-fried ice cream. It was in a holiday, believe it or not, a Holiday Inn restaurant in San Antonio, a really good restaurant in a Holiday Inn. And it's the first time, it's kind of a Mexican thing, and it's the first time I'd ever had deep fried ice cream with whipped cream. You know, they take it and freeze it really solid, coat it, this was in frosted flakes, deep fry it for about 20 seconds, and oh, it is the most amazing, but it's got to be done right. If the corn flakes are soggy, it's no good.
Well, Tom, I've been to your Alamo, and Mark, I've been to your Holiday Inn, but do they have rutabagas? Mrs. Wilkes, the best rutabagas in the world.
Rutabagas, yeah. Well, but you know what? We're talking more about picture. More. We've got to talk to Karen about that burger thing. I mean, I'm telling you, we've got to have Five Guys or In-N-Out.
And the peanuts on the floor.
And we've got to have some really good food at the airport.
Okay, Travel Guys, wrapping it up for today. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Mark, what's on the agenda?
Well, we're going to be. In 2 weeks, we've got our travel trivia contest for our mystery spot, and we'll also be talking, I hope, with Congressman Matsui or someone from her office about this important legislation that just passed last week.
Want to thank Clayton Whitehead. Clayton, thanks for joining us here, our road reporter.
Great pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay. Mark, any final words?
Oh, a quick shout-out to staff members Chris Galloway and Ramona Gooch, who both lost family members this week. So our thoughts are with you. Good luck. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys.